congregation in many capacities, along with the brethren that we were able to meet and love and participate. And when I say brethren, I'm talking about men and women. We just love you all. We love this congregation. And we love the work that we're doing in missions. Now, bear with me, because sometimes in old age, I told my wife, I don't know what it is, but I get emotional too soon. It used to be I wouldn't get emotional. And sometimes, you know, I might do a little crying, but that's okay, okay? Because I'm an older man. God is everywhere. And one thing about it is that he's our creator. And he made all of us. And he took one man, Adam, and he took him out of the dust of the earth, and he made man. But when you look at the picture, I want you to understand that God is spirit. And you see, we use the hands there just so that we can understand. But God is everywhere. And the thing about it is that's the beauty of having God as our Father. Amen. And the Word as his Son, our Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When you talk about God in the Bible, it uses it in the plural, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So anytime we talk about God, we're talking about the manifestation, all of God working. See? And so we see that God gave man a helpmeet, Eve, but he didn't take her out of the dirt. He took her out of the man. And he took that rib and he formed her. And you know, Eve, she became the mother of every person that is born in time, you and I. But our Father is still God. See? And that's for Father of every man and every woman. Now, this first service is kind of a test for me because when I'm in Africa, I speak a long time, but I know I got to speed things up. So anyway, we see that all nations come out of Eve. And then we see that God's perfect purpose for ministering to the widows and the orphans is to help those who are homeless, help those who not only homeless, but fatherless, motherless, those who are in pain and suffering, to comfort those who are lost, help them to be found. God wants that for his children. His children, because of sin, we are in a world of the kingdom of darkness, and he wants to bring light to his children. And so we see that we have orphans, because I'm going to deal with orphans this morning. But we have children. These are children, some orphans in Ghana. And then we have also in Kenya. And here in this particular orphanage, we have those who are mentally challenged, physically challenged, some of those who have no food, no water, no shelter, no place to lay their head. I mean, these are some of the orphans in this particular area that are left behind. But they're still God's children. Amen. You see, when we're born into this world, we come in baby, you know, and there's questions over time that we ask ourselves. Come in as a child. We come in as a teen, as we grow up, we go into become adults, and then we become mature adults, and then we become seniors. And during that time in life, there are questions that come up as we move from birth to senior, if it's the Lord's will. And so there's questions that come up. Why am I here in time, especially in Africa, where kids come up in poverty? And I'm sure over time they ask the question, why? Why am I here in time? Why now? What for? And for how long? What is my purpose for existence? Where can I find truth? Where can I find the answers to these questions? Well, I hope that we in our mission work can help them find answers to these questions before it's the end of their time. I had the privilege of going this past couple months back to the church, visit this community, visit this school in Nadali, and those of you who are African by nature, I mean by coming from Ghana, forgive me if I pronounce the name wrong, okay? Because I'm an American and I have my American culture. And I'm trying to learn Swahili. Yes. All right. Anyway, but on that, you saw two men. You saw Jacob, who's on the right, and Emmanuel, who's on the left. These two have a passion for the work, especially for orphans in the community, those who are homeless and helpless, those who have lost all hope. And so they try to make a place for them to come and to learn. And so you're going to know more about them in the pamphlet that's been given at the end of the service. You'll learn more about what they do and so forth. But also, this is a picture of all the orphans that they have saved from the streets and saved from broken homes. And they brought them into this school. And on the board, the mission board, you're going to see there's a picture of a before and an after. And you're going to see the difference of change is when you come out of a community of hopelessness into a community of helpfulness. When you come from being in the kingdom of darkness and you come into the kingdom of the light, you'll see big changes in the community, big changes in the children. That's Emmanuel and his wife, Esther. You know, in their home, it's a two-room home, and the home is probably about this pew, this pew, this pew, this pew, and this pew, and that pew, and cut it in half. You got your two rooms. Your kitchen is on the outside, and your toilets are on the outside. In the house, you sleep. And so in their house, they have three children, but they also have eight orphans. That's one thing about that culture. They bring in children. They don't have the red tape that we have here, because I understand we have to have red tape here because of the conditions and the things that could happen to kids. But there in Africa, the love for children is so great, and to be helpful to the children is there. And these are four young men who are orphans, and they were brought up from high school or junior high, and now they're graduating and they're going into high school, and next they will be a great asset to the community. These are some more orphans. This is the housekeeper. She takes care of these orphans, and she is a widow. And not only that, you're going to see those three orphans in the front. I'm going to show you her mother. Her mother also has to stay with the lady here. And the lady here, she's a cook. And so she cooks for the school, as you can see. But there's one thing about cooking for the school, you cook out in the open air. And when you cook out in the open air, bugs, dust, things can contaminate the food. So, you know, one of the needs they have is build a kitchen so they can cook the food in the kitchen. And see, we don't have that problem, do we? Only when we barbecue. All right. Now, I want now to just come and just join us now in the Bible study. You see, the Bible itself, to me, is like a giant puzzle. And there's so much in it, Old Testament, New Testament, and histories, and so forth. And because it's such a giant puzzle, I want to take a couple of pieces out of the puzzle and talk about that this morning. We want to talk about kingdom culture and relationships because I'm dealing with the orphans. And so let's take a look at relationships. You see, our first relationship is vertical to God. When we understand our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we learn about love. Now, because I'm not up there with my notes, I can't rattle off the scriptures, but I'll tell you in John, the book of John, and in the book of 1 John, you're going to find all about love and Jesus talking. And see, I'm giving you the place to look because I know that you are Bereans and not Thessalonians. And so you can search the scriptures and you'll find what they say. Okay, but in relationships, in those passages, I was going to have Randy and them read for me, but Randy, that's okay right now. I'll tell you when I need you. But it talks about love, and talks about to love the Father is to keep his commandments, to do his will. And then it'll say to love Jesus. Jesus says is to keep my commandments. See? And then he says to love. Love is the foundation of all relationships because God is love. And God is our Father, and we are the children. And see, one of the things we learn from God about love is that we are to love individuals but hate sin. Because that's what he did. He loved us in our sinful condition. And so we are to love one another but hate sin. So in the relationship, that's the horizontal to man. So our relationship is always to love each other in spite of. You know, kingdom of darkness, Satan, the devil, he will cause us to do things that are not right. If you go to Galatians, the fifth chapter, you'll find out about the works of Satan, the fruit of Satan in the fifth chapter. But I want you to know that because God is love and we, as the body of Christ, I'm talking to us now. We're like a puzzle. And as a puzzle, individually and collectively, we work together. You see, my wife and I, individually, we go with a purpose and a love for people, but also Randy comes. Same purpose. Cedric comes. Same purpose. You see, as disciples of Christ, we are commissioned to go. Now, don't get me wrong. You don't have to go across the water. You can just go next door. Okay? But we like to go across the water. All right? But the thing is, guess what? Christ's disciples here at GACC, when we go, you go with us. See? And where you go, we go with you. We go with you in prayer. We go with you in our commitment to God as a family. See? And so we're not alone. The puzzle, you know, when I think about the puzzle, I think about 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. Talks about us being one body, but many members. And we all don't have the same function. And I see that clearly when we look at the ministries of Greenville Avenue. There's so many different ministries that you and I are involved in that are touching the lives of people. And so I just don't want to give you the impression that because you're not going across the water, that you're not doing missions, you're not being involved, you are still a piece of the puzzle. See, we work together. Then comes kingdom culture. This is where you're going to find my text in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. in there. I use the American Standard Version, but I also use Easy Read Version. I'll show you in a minute. But in that, we want to find God's perfect purpose for ministering to the widows and the orphans. And in the text, it'll say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." These are the four points I'm going to cover, and then the lesson will be yours. The root, our faith, his fruit, our behavior. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. God made us new people so that we would spend our lives doing the good things he has already planned for us to do. That's the Easy Reading Version. The root, the source. Ephesians 2:10. Individuals, that's you and I, in the puzzle. In Christ. You see, the root is God. God who made us. But there's a location where we're made, new creatures. And that location is in Christ. We've got to get people in the location in Christ. No matter how much good we do, if we don't get them in the location, there's a problem. The root is God. Our faith. God has made us what we are in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in Christ, where we're made new creatures, where we're made what we are to be and what we are to do. In Christ. Our faith is in God's purpose. God has a purpose for us. Individuals in Christ, purpose. God has a purpose for each one of us. Don't let anybody say that you don't have a purpose for life. God brought you into time for a purpose. But guess what? It wasn't for your purpose. It's for his purpose. You see, the root, God. The faith is in Christ and what God is doing, his purpose. And then there's the fruit. Good works. He created in us. He created us for purpose. The purpose, good works. In Christ, individuals, purpose, good works. Our behavior. You see, in Christ, individuals, purpose, good works, our behavior. Let's look at that. God provides opportunity. You see, if God gives you a purpose, you and I a purpose for good works, don't you believe that he has the right to define what those good works are? And then when he defines those good works are opportunities. Opportunities that we've given, he's given us. And he won't put on us more than we can bear. And he won't give us an opportunity unless he's given us something to take care of the opportunity. But with the opportunity comes a choice to do or not to do. Let's look at that. James 1, 27. I want just to read verse 22. You see, in Christ, we have a purpose. The purpose is good works. Those good works are opportunities that God gives us. And in James 1, 22 and 27, we're going to see the opportunity for widows and orphans. In James 1 and 22, the Bible will say,
The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
You see, when God gives us the opportunity, he expects us to bear fruit. See, and if he gives it to us, then we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In Matthew 25, 31, and in James, in verse 27, we didn't read, but what did it say in James 2:27?
1:27.
Okay, 1:27.
Pure religion.
Pure religion.
Undefiled.
Okay. Is what?
Before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction.
I just want to show you that one piece of this puzzle of the ministry that Greenville Avenue has blessed us to do, and that is the widows and the orphans. You see, when we look at the scriptures in Matthew 25, final judgment, separation, and righteous behavior, we're going to see that Jesus, he sets the sheep on the right, the goat on the left, and then he tells a story. And he says in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because I told you to read, but I'm reading. But you can say amen if I'm wrong. All right. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. I want to share with you these two men, young men, because behavior is based on opportunities. And opportunities, what do? When you're given certain opportunities, well, the young man here, that you see the two young men, I just want to read this is what the guy and the young man in the red shirt, his name is Michael Gimpy. He's 17 years old. He's a member of the Lord's Church, and he's very active in the work in Atiku in Ghana. And what has happened to this young man is that his mother died in childbirth. He didn't know his father. And whether he doesn't know if his father's dead or alive, but a month after I came back from Ghana, I heard the news from Francis. He's the guy who's holding his degree. I heard the news from Francis that his grandmother had died, who was taking care of him. Okay, and he had just graduated from junior high school. But now he's homeless. And so some friends took him in. And then Francis, he told me that Michael came to him in tears, wondering, what can he do? I finished junior high school. I want to go to high school, but how can I? And so Francis came to me, and he said, I don't want him to be a street survivor. I don't want him to be on the streets and have a bad experience. He says, because I have experienced street life. That's the boy with the degree telling him, I've been there. Then he's telling me, can you help? And so what we did, and when I say we, it's not just me. I tell my brothers and sisters, I don't have a tree in my backyard that has money on it. But we are participating in helping this young man. But we're waiting to find out more facts after the funeral, because my understanding is the funeral of his grandmother is going to be in a week, and they say his father may show up. And if his father comes, we're going to see what the father will do to help him. But then I want to tell you about Francis. Now, Francis, he is one of the young men that we helped when he was in junior high. Through the graduating seniors, they would give a donation of $100 each year to help a student or help somebody in school. And so Francis was one that we gave a donation to. And I want to read what he wrote for me to share with Greenville Avenue. He said, I'm Francis Cobbler is my name. I'm 28 years old. I'm a Ghanaian. Please spare me a couple of minutes to share with you how God has blessed me. He said, I had wonderful parents until things started to fall apart. He said, I lost my dad at 7 years old, and we were six in the family. And after the death of his father, life became very, very hard. And my extended family, they just turned their back on us. They left us to our fate to suffer financially and physically. The financial problem came, and three of us had to drop out of school. And he was one of the three. And therefore, dropping out of school, he had to provide for the family. It pushed him to the streets, and there he had to go, and he worked as a porter, where he would help people load things in the car or whatever. And then he would clean and wash cars for money just to survive and come home with something for the family to eat. And when he had a bad day, there was no food for them to eat. And so this means that over time, he's walking and he's in the streets. But in the village, when a policeman sees you on the street on school hours, he takes you to the police station and he finds your parents. And so on one fateful day, he was in the streets and a policeman came and wanted to arrest him for being on the streets on school hours. He started chasing him, and he said he ran, and as fast as his feet could take him, and he ran to his house. But the policeman followed him home. And his mom had to explain to him it wasn't his fault that he was on the street. Francis wishes to be in school, but he dropped out because financially I couldn't afford to send him to school with six children in school. That means three of them were in school and three were out, and Francis was one. And feeding them was hard since the father had died. Well, the policeman became emotional and touched. And so he took Francis to school and he paid for his schooling. And he graduated from the junior school. And then the policeman was transferred to another village. And so the same year he graduated, the policeman was gone. But then the question was, how, after I've graduated, how do I go to high school, since the policeman had been the one who took care of me? And so he was back on the streets. But then, and he was on the streets for another year. And then the next year, the policeman came through the village. And then the policeman, he saw Francis on the streets. And he was wondering what had happened. And so he took Francis to the school, the high school, got him enrolled. And he said, Francis said, God has been good to me. The proprietor of the Church of Christ, the senior high school preacher, Lawrence Oduro, adopted me from the policeman and gave me a scholarship through high school. As he continued to learn, as continuous learning is the minimum requirement for success, he learned hard and had good grades. He came out of his class one of the top in finances and accounting. And he said, by the help and the blessings from Greenville Avenue, the Church of Christ, through Brother Lawrence, through Raymond Christopher, took me through college to study business administration. I graduated with first class and the best financial student in his class. He says, God took him from grass to grace, from zero to hero. Here I am, excuse me, a degree holder in finance. And they have been blessing him and his family. And the Lord has blessed him. He's very active in the church. And he thanks Greenville Avenue, Church of Christ. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And he's very active now. Here's another young lady I want to share. She was mentally challenged. And being mentally challenged, she lost her mother, her parents, at age 8. And so she lost her mother, and so she lived with her aunt. Her aunt was cruel. Her aunt would hardly feed her. Her aunt put her in a room that had no windows and a door that did not lock. And what happened was that at night, men would come in. And she got pregnant three times. And men being mentally challenged, having three kids, can't take care of them. The aunt was treating her bad. And so they became homeless. And Jacob, the preacher in Tamsil, found them on the streets. He took them to Nadali, where Emmanuel is. And there with Emmanuel, they put them in school, and he rented a house, and he put them in the house where you saw the house mother with the children. That's where they stayed. And so they are now in school, and the Lord is blessing them. But she was a widow. Her aunt just treated her wrong. And now I just want us to see these are the opportunities that come. Here's Eric Toole. He found orphans. And he took those orphans in and started a school. And he's got the school for children, not only orphans, but kids on the street. And through Greenville Avenue, because I know Eric well, and so does Cedric and Randy. And through Greenville Avenue, we sent funds. And he's just showing me that he used the funds to help feed the children. Opportunities, good works, children being fed. I was hungry, and you fed me. The question is, and the answer, the sheep asked the question, but Jesus gave the answer. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, athirst and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? And when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, my brethren, even these least, you did it unto me. This is one of the young ladies. One of the girls. When? Brother Alexander, when you sung that song, I had it in my notes. It's just showing you how God works. You see, I hear you. I can see you. But do you hear me? That's what she's saying. Can you see me? What she's saying is, Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Someone's praying. Someone's crying. Come by here. Kumbaya. Kumbaya. Come by here. Our mission objective, Bibles to all truth seekers. We want everyone to get a Bible. We want everyone to know the puzzle, to learn about the truth and answer questions. Curriculum to grow babies in Christ from milk to meat. A dedicated teacher of the master teacher, Jesus, our example. Physical food, clothing, and shelter. But see, after we've done all that, our main objective is to make disciples by our fruit. We want to show and not just tell the story of Jesus. There are many that say they are disciples of Christ. Many people have been baptized and got wet. And they're like this orange. They say they're disciples. But you see, there's the consequences for the goat. Jesus said, by their fruit, you shall know my disciples. You see, this is a tangerine. And you know, tangerine, it has skin. See, we call ourselves disciples. We have a skin. But you know, there's an old saying, you can't judge a book by looking at his cover. You got to go inside. And so the fruit, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. Okay? Well, see, the fruit has a seed. The seed of a disciple is Christ in us. But then that seed has to be germinated. And God gave a gift, the Holy Spirit. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, now as disciples, we bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So as a disciple, we've got the skin. But do we have the fruit? Do we have the fruit? See, it's something that reminds me of what Martin Luther King said one day. He said, there's going to come a day when our children won't be judged by the skin, the color of their skin, but the content of their character. As disciples, what is the content of our character? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities, the good works that God has given us individually and collectively? That's a question only we as individuals can answer. But when you taste the good fruit of Jesus, you can't help but be about his business. I want to taste this so bad, but I got to talk. I believe that's the end of this presentation, but it's not the end of what I've got to say. What I have to say is this. There's some out here now in this audience who are fatherless because they don't have Jesus. They're homeless because without Jesus, you're going to miss the place that he's prepared, the home that he has for us who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the root is God, but the location is Jesus Christ. We want you to be in the location. That's why we go to make disciples. And to make disciples, we are told that there's a gospel that you must hear and believe, and decide that you want to be a disciple, because he said, make disciples. You make that choice to be a disciple, to follow him. And then he says, when you make that choice, faith is going to cause you to be obedient. And being obedient, you would do like they did in Acts 2, 38, 37, 38. When they found out that this Jesus whom they crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, they asked the question, what must we do to be saved? And he said, repent, turn away from the kingdom of darkness, and come become translated into the kingdom of light. Repent, see, and come back to God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Make that decision to be a disciple, because all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. And you can enjoy those blessings in him by being baptized into the body, remembering what he did for us. He died for our sins. He was buried. And then he rose again the third day. He died for our sins, but he was resurrected for our hope that we will spend eternity with him. This is the message. We want to conclude with the orphans and the widows. We'll give you food. We'll give you water. We'll give you shelter. But Jesus can give you that water that you'll never thirst from, that food, that bread you'll never hunger from, and that home that will last throughout all eternity. And if you're a child of God and you lost hope somewhere, you strayed, repent, come back to God. He is the source of your life. Think on these things. Do what you must do. And let God bless you as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 754. 754. There is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark the cry from help comes ringing through the land. Jesus called for reapers.